All right. Good morning. Hopefully that first session, you were able to take something out of that that would help you. I still encourage you, do not take my word for anything. Go to the Bible, search it for yourself, get the confirmation in your own heart and mind according to the scriptures, and go with that, right? Because that's what I had to do with that particular subject. Now, I heard it taught many different ways by many different people, not to be redundant. I never got a comfort in my own thinking, in my own spirit about the way it was taught. So I continued to study it, and I left the words alone, left them where they were at. I honored the words, and I came up with what I taught you there on that subject this morning. Now, somebody might persuade me different, but I've already heard the other persuasions, and so I stick with what I taught this morning without apology. All right, so in Romans chapter 5 this morning, we're going to go there, and we're going to talk on a subject that a lot of people get confused: standing and state, position and condition. One is never variable. The other one is variable. Standing is not variable. State is variable. Your position is fixed in Christ. Your condition varies. Okay? And we'll see that as we look in the verses. So what I want to do this morning, I don't have, honestly, I've got less notes than probably I've ever done. So y'all could be like, yeah, but I can take three notes and go a long time. But that's not my goal. My goal is to just hit this, and I want you to see some things so you understand. And you understand my position on it, okay? So let us pray, and then we're going to go to Romans in chapter 5. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for another day. We're grateful to be back here at home in this fellowship to study your word, to look and see what it is that you have given us in your Son, what you have done by, through, and in your Son for your body, the church. We give you the praise, honor, and glory for the death of Christ, the blood of Christ, the burial, the resurrection of Christ to life, and our justification. We believe Him, trust Him, and Him alone, and nothing else for our salvation and for all that we need. It's all in Him, and we look nowhere else for it. We give Him all the praise, all the thanks, all the honor, and all the glory. And everyone said, amen. So what I want to do, I want to show you this positional thing. The standing is the first thing I want to show you. And then we're going to show you some state or condition type verses. This is one of the subjects, or one of the topics, if you will, that hurt people in Bible study. It hurts people in their Christian growth, because they'll read something like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and they get that. For by grace are you saved through faith, you know? They get that, and they're like, yeah. Then they'll go on and read a verse that says, you ought to be doing this, this, and this, and everybody's like, well, that just said this. And well, one is your standing, and the other one is your state. One is your position, the other one is your condition, right? So you've got to understand, when you nail down justification, that it's nailed down. It's a done deal. But then after that, there's responsibility in grace. There's responsibility to our Father. There's responsibility to learn more about Jesus Christ, to have Him formed in us, to have His Word in us richly. Those things don't come from your standing. You have all you need in Christ, right? But how much Christ do you have in you? Okay? That comes from putting off the old man and putting on the new man by the renewing of your mind. When Paul speaks about putting on the new man, he doesn't say God's going to put on the new man for you. You're going to put on the new man by taking in the Word of God and having the Word of God effectually working in you, because it's dwelling in you richly. That's going to put on the new man. That's going to put off the old man, okay? So there's not a teaching that I'm going to give you that you're going to physically go out and practice something and you're going to put off the old man and you're going to put on the new man. That's not going to happen. It's going to happen through a constant intake of the Word of God, sound doctrine, right? And then application of that doctrine in one's life, you're going to then put off the old man and then put on the new man. It's conditional. That part's conditional. Because listen, if you could put off the old man and put on the new man, isn't that something that kind of goes one way or the other? If Paul gave us warnings in the Scripture, why are the warnings there? If you ever opened up a box of something that had a piece of furniture in it, and then you get a tag on something that says, do not eat, that's a warning. You know why that warning's there? Some bonehead ate something out of a box that had furniture in it at some point. So they had to warn you. Well, if we could not slide back into the habits and to the things of the old man, why does Paul warn us? See, one's condition, the other's position. When you slide back into the old man, that does not change your position. It changes your condition. Right? When your conduct is south of God's calling to you, that doesn't change that you're in Christ or that Christ is even in you. What it means is your condition has varied. So you have to understand that. That's why people believe that you can lose your salvation, because they don't distinguish the position from the condition. So they see a conditional verse, and we're going to show those. Then they say, well, right there. No, watch closely, okay? Now go to chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to show you your standing. I'm going to show you your position. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. I would underline that word if I didn't have it underlined. Access by faith. How are you going to have that access? By faith. Into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's what God has done. Right? God choosing to give you grace through faith, that's God. Amen? That's your standing. All right? Go look at Ephesians with me real quick. Actually, look at 2 Corinthians on your way up. Conduct, important. Conditionally speaking, right? Standing, your position is extremely important. If you never recognize your position, you'll never have the correct conduct. You with me? And here's why. If you don't know who you are in Christ, solid, stabilized, established, planted, firm, you will never respond according to correct doctrine. You'll be trying to make something happen out of you to please God. What pleases God, and where's God invested? In His Son. Where did He put you when you got saved? In His Son. Is that a done deal? Absolutely. Is that where I stop? No. That's a great starting point. For me to realize that and to grow up, mature, and then have the Word of God to grow up in me. That's the only way I'm going to respond to God by faith the correct way. Folks, you've heard me say it a million times. God's not in heaven with a chalkboard saying He went to Sunday school.
Right.
Check. He did something good today. Check. That's not what God's doing. It's the measure of Christ in us. That's what God's going to look at. That's what God is looking at. And that's what God's going to look at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? You're not going up there to answer for your sins, because Christ has already answered for your sins. You're going to go up there to see what furniture you built and put in that house.
Yeah.
You're either going to be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor when you get there. The only thing that's going to honor God is Christ in you. Right? That's glory to God's Son, not glory to me. You with me? All right, so this standing and this state thing is extremely important, because people get them confused. I'm not confused about it. Okay? I know who I am in Christ, and I know what I am in the flesh. And they are polar opposites, right? Look here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 17. Let me give you another positional verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is your position. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. That is positional. That don't change when you have a bad day. Right? You can't lose that. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Your conduct is not going to take you out of Christ and make you an old creature. You've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Cannot change. Will not change. That's fixed. It's done. That's your position. That's your standing. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at 5, and then look at verse 30. Here's your position. Here's your standing. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. We are. We're not becoming. We're not getting good enough so we can become. We are. Right? Now, we are is a statement that we are right now, right? Not when we get to heaven. We are members of the body, of His body, flesh of His flesh, and bone of His bone right now. That can't change, right? You've heard me say it before. If God's going to cut off a member, He's cutting off an arm. He's cutting off a leg. He's cutting off... He's not. You're there. You're fixed in Christ. That's your standing. Understand that. Now, why would... You take a verse like that, it's so clear. That's not taking that verse out of its context, because when you read that, Paul's going to show you it's a great mystery. Watch here. Look in verse 32. And he speaks of that bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He connects that to a husband and a wife, bone of bone, flesh of flesh, as being one, right? Being one. Watch 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and what? So is the church bone of bone and flesh of flesh with Christ. Amen. Who are the church? The building? Right? No. Our tag out front that says we're so-and-so? No. It's the body. Right? We are the house of God. We are where God has chosen to dwell, in these temples. That's the mystery of godliness manifested in the flesh as well. Right? All right. So look at Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's firm. That's position. But I'm going to show you how you can forfeit that. You can forfeit that through your condition. Right? It's true that God has done it, but what if I never acknowledge it? Right? For the people out here who do not believe by grace through faith, they believe in something else, and they don't trust that Paul's the apostle of the Gentiles and that those 13 books are all important for understanding the Bible. Let me ask you this. If they're saved, do they have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? They do, but they're not enjoying them. Right? You with me? It's there for them. Let's just say this morning I set up two boxes up here. And both of those boxes are the exact same size. They're 4 foot by 4 foot. One sitting beside the other. The one I put all the treasures of the riches of the wisdom of Christ. Everything you need in Christ is in that one box. And then I put another one over here. I put all the rudiments of the world, all the junk that's out there in religion and all that stuff. And I say to you, over here's one. If you tap into it, you'll never need anything else. And you choose the one with the rudiments of the world. Did you receive the treasures? You didn't, did you? Do you think there's going to be a day when you're going to stand before God Almighty and give an account for that? Yes, you will. You can have your good time here on earth. You can have your good time with your religious activities. But there's going to come a day where that activity has got to stand the test of the fire. Amen? So here's the treasure, and God is saying, it's in my Son. I've done all this for you. Now, the fact that that's your position, that can't change, don't mean that I can't forfeit things here, right? And then lose them again, if you will, when I'm at the judgment seat of Christ. Because I chose to build up the house with a bunch of garbage that's not going to stand the test of fire. I'm going to lose out of the glory of God and what he had planned in His Son for me to have throughout all eternity. I'm losing out because that stuff's going to burn up. Has anybody read that? Right? The stuff in me is going to be burned out, that wasn't of Christ, by faith in what God wanted me to know and learn about His Son. It's going to burn up. The furniture is going to burn up. But the man himself shall be saved, even as so as by fire. Right? So look at Ephesians 2:6. And He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that your position? That is your judicial and spiritual, not condition, but position right now. That's what He did for you. That can't change. You're in Christ in heavenly places, right? How many people don't know that? You don't think about it. They are trying to get into Christ. They are wanting to, you need to accept Christ. No, you need to be accepted in the beloved. You know, why would God accept you? Only because of Christ. Amen? Look at Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship created where? Right? Now what's the end of that? Unto good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. That verse, you get position and condition in one verse. Can you see that? We're already created in Him, but what are we created unto? Good works. You see the condition. Does He say you have to?
No.
Did He say it's a law?
No,
He said you should. Right? So there you get standing and you get state in one verse. So God didn't call us into His Son for us to determine the rules. And that's a bad word, I know, as far as rules, but what I'm saying is how we're going to go about doing things. So what's so easy to do when we start talking about this thing, Christianity, being saved, being in God's plan, especially when people get the knowledge that they're not under law, they're not under all those ordinances, they're not under these things, the easy thing for us to do at that point is to say, then it's about me. Never. Never. It's about Christ. And God's not going to have it any other way. He's invested in Christ. He wants you invested in Christ. That's the faith God's looking for. Right? So look here now. Let's look at some conditional type verses. Here, go back to Psalm 39. Look at Psalm 39. When you get there, look at verse 5. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Now, let's look at that verse closely. Behold, thou hast made my days as a hand's breadth. Short. An extension of God's arm, poof, take it away. It's just we're just a dribble at 75 years old, 80 years old, 90 year old, whatever the case be, even if it's 100 year old, it's just a dribble on a line of time. Short, right? Watch. And mine age is nothing before thee. You know why? God don't have birthdays. You do. My age means nothing to God. If I were to live as did some in the Old Testament, 600 years or 900 years, that's nothing to God. Because God doesn't live in time. He lives in eternity. That one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is as one day. Wrap your mind around that for a second. How significant is your age? He just said it's not. Watch this. Verily, every man at his best date altogether is vanity. Tells me that this life that we have, especially the life that we now have in Christ, it ought to be about redeeming the time because we don't have that much of it. Amen? It ought to be honoring the Father through the Son and what He has asked us and called us into. That's the way it ought to be given. That's the way it ought to be spent. You with me? Because anything out of me, He just said, is nothing but vanity. My state is vanity. Right? So when I choose to leave this position to fulfill the flesh, me, fingers pointing at me, I'm going over into my condition at that point, and I'm saying, I know better than God. I know better than He does. I know more about this thing than He does. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. What am I doing? I'm in vanity at that point. Because that's not what God called you into. He didn't call you into your life. You have no life. He called you into the life of His Son. That's our life. How should that life be spent? I like what we're doing right here. I like what's happening with the media now, that it's going out and a lot of people in different places are hearing the message of grace and how to be saved and justified and sanctified and trying to bring people out of darkness into the light, out of these places where they get taught all these different things. I love what's happening. I really do. I give Him all the praise for it. All right, let's look at Philippians chapter 4 real quick. This will hurt the prosperity of preachers and teachers. This will hurt the men that say when you come Sunday and you give X number of dollars, your state is going to be such. When you don't come Sunday and don't give X number of dollars, then your state's going to be opposite of that. This is going to kill that. Watch Paul right here in verse 11, 4 and 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. Paul is saying, according to the necessities of life, that his state can change. Watch how it can change. I know both how to be abased, that's to be low, be without, and I know how to abound, that's to have it. Right? Everywhere, all in all, things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to do what? Suffer need. Now watch what Paul does with the next verse, which gets, you know, people want to be a rock star. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is what he just said in verses 11 and 12. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Paul says, my state might change. Physically, conditionally, with what I have or don't have, that can vary. But what I know is where my fullness is, and because of that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, you've got people who change Bible words in modern versions that says, I can do all things through Him that gives me strength. Who's Him? That could be the man who lives down the street that sends you a couple grand each week. But that ain't what Paul's talking about. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So see the condition there. Look at Philippians 2. That was Paul's condition in life, everyday life. He could have it, or he could lose it, right? It could vary. That was the state of his everyday life. Watch here in 2:19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your what? Your state. What state is he talking about? Their spiritual state. When Timotheus gives me the word that you're continuing in the faith, you're continuing in the gospel, your spiritual state, when I hear that that's good, I'll take comfort in the fact that your state, your condition, is lining up with your position. Right? People are great with position. They get blown away by condition. See? Don't tell me about condition. I like the position. Well, folks, if I had to tell you from the flesh, me too. Right? But if I have to tell you from the book, your condition is important because of your position. Right? If a man is an EMS ambulance driver, and that's his position, and you hit 911, and they call that guy up, and he's on duty, but he elects to say on the other end, I tell you what, I would go over and check on him, but I've got a fishing date. Did his condition line up with his position? No, it didn't. It didn't. The analogy is, folks, that that guy is in a position, you want him to act as his position. You want him to say, sirens on, we're hitting 75, we're on our way to get him now. Right? You don't want him to say, I'm checking out, I'm going fishing. Our position in Christ, the condition should be, I love him, I want to know more of him, I want to gain in the knowledge and understanding of my Savior. Not, I got saved, right? I'm checking out and going fishing, Peter. Right? You understand how they're both are important? I have a position at work. If I don't do it, I'm not going to have a position at work. In the natural, my position can change, right? In the spiritual, my position can. All right? There's no law that says, Willie, if you don't do this, you lose that. There's no law. But there is a spiritual law. If you don't keep this up through the Word of God, reading, studying, taking it in, and fellowship, what's going to happen is you're going to lose the experimental, the functional side of life that God wants in you. You're going to lose that. Right? Not your salvation. Not your salvation. You're going to lose your effective Christian walk in life because you don't care about the condition. There's people in my neighborhood who are having to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to restore their houses. You know why? They didn't keep them up. And had they spent a little money here, and a little money here, and a little money here, they wouldn't have had to do a complete overhaul. Right? If you give a little time here, a little time there to be concerned about your condition, then you don't get shipwrecked and have to start all over, if you will. You with me? It means something. Your condition means something. Your state means something. Your standing is sure. It won't change. It's not variable. Christ is not going to throw you out because you're a bonehead. He's not going to throw you out because you're lazy. He knew it before he saved you. Right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I heard Richard Jordan say one time, he said, I drop the cheese off the cracker sometimes. He said, sometimes I deliberately knock the cheese off the cracker. We do the same thing. His analogy was, sometimes I don't do right. It's just out of me, right? Sometimes I don't do right and knowing I'm not doing right. Anybody else in that boat or am I by myself? I know, all y'all done got there. Watch in chapter 6. Look at verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, to go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, you are unworthy to judge the smallest matters. Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. He's talking about their condition. He's talking about their state. Watch. It is so that there is no wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between the brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with the other. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know you not The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Watch how Paul, the Holy Spirit leads Paul to do this. He's drilling on their condition right now. Watch. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now what? He just went from drilling on their condition to doing what? Going to their standing. Now he's going to hit their position. Watch verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and a belly for the meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. He went from their condition to their standing. You see that? Well, I wonder if that's the writing, could a person saved and justified do those other things? Well, I would think. There's a warning. Right? Do you see that? All right, now go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. And we're getting ready to tie this up. I'm just wanting you to see the difference between standing and state, but I want you to realize the importance of your state, your condition, right? Folks, I am not going to stand on top of a table and tell you how righteous and holy I am from my flesh, right? But I heard one brother say, you can't out-righteous or out-holy me because it's not mine, it's his. Right? But what I want you to understand is what God has called us into. And I'm going to show you a couple things here in this. I want you to see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, I want to show you another positional verse. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. That's fixed. All right? That's positional. That's where Christ is in you. You understand that? All right? Go over and grab Colossians 2:10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Okay? So, the writer, the Holy Spirit, inspiring Paul to write, he says, Paul, let these Colossians know this. Okay? And this is for us too, folks. There's no treasure outside of Jesus Christ. There's no life outside of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that you need that's not in Christ. Complete in Christ. Is Christ being completed in you? Right? Is he being formed in you as a believer? Well, if he's not, don't blame it on God. Because God says everything is in Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You have no crutch. That's what the writer is telling you. 2:10 is a warning that you do have everything in Christ. Right? Why are you looking outside of Christ? And why are you not growing in the knowledge of my Son? Right? Because you're going to give an account for it. Right? The person that got saved this morning, they're complete in Christ from the standpoint that everything they need is in Christ. If they get drug off out here to some whatever religion, they're saved and they're taught all this hogwash that they teach in religion, is Christ going to be formed in them? Go back to Galatians, and what did Paul say to them? I travail that Christ be formed in you again. Right? They had come to the knowledge of the truth, got drug off back into the law, and Paul says, now, start over. You're destroying the good work that was laid out in front of you, the work of the Spirit. And that's what he said to them. Are you so foolish that having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? How foolish. Right? So we're being complete in Christ. Everything that we have, everything that we need is furnished by God in His Son. Can you see that? All right, so look over at 3. Look at verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What is that? That's your standing. That's a positional verse. But look at verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. That's conditional. Right? If I choose to want to look outside of Christ and look for the things in the earth, it's going to change my state and my condition. Right? Get wrapped up in the cares of this life. Turn on the news and watch that garbage 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day and get yourself fixed on the things of this life. And what you're going to do is you're going to find yourself shipwrecked, and your state and your condition is not going to marry up to your position. You with me? Is that simple enough? Do I believe you're complete in Christ? There's no other place. That was the warning to the Colossians. That was the warning over to the Corinthians. Don't go out and do those things pertaining to the flesh. He's telling Colossians, don't go out and do those things pertaining to religion. You see? One's just as bad as the other. Right? So the guy that's saved and he's out here and he's living like hell, is he still saved? Yeah. Is his condition marrying up to his position? No. If the guy that's saved, he's over here in some far-fetched denomination, religious system this morning, is his position and his condition lining up one to the other? Absolutely not. So tell me which one's better, the drunkard or the religious guy? They're both on the same footing. They're both denying the completeness of Jesus Christ. They're both looking outside of Christ for something, right? You with me? Do you do that sometimes? Sure you do. You get caught up sometimes in the things of this life and you don't look up, right? You don't realize that from time to time that you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, this thing about standing and state is extremely important. Understand your standing is fixed, understanding that your state, it varies. And the people say, well, you can't be drunk or you can't be saved if you're drunk and you can't be saved. Well, let me ask you this. You give a man credit for being in a religious institution. You say he can be saved. But a guy over here on the bar stool, you said he can't be saved. I take the guy on the bar stool's chances based on his testimony. Right? Maybe y'all don't. I do. All right? And finishing up this morning, go to 3:16. Well, actually, we're going to look at 3:5 because I'm going to show you another conditional verse. Look at 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Now watch 5. Here's a conditional state verse. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Watch. Which in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off these. And he goes through this list of stuff of putting off. Because he wants the believer to grow. There's a purpose for what Paul has taught in the book of Colossians. There's a purpose for him telling you that Christ is in you. There's a purpose for him telling you that you're complete in Christ. There's a purpose for him telling you to mortify your members. Right? If you miss the purpose of Colossians, you don't understand any of those verses in their depth. You have a shallow meaning of those verses. So what's the purpose? Go back and look at Colossians 1. We're going to look at a couple more verses and we're done. Colossians 1. Watch the verse. You can't deny it. You can't deny the importance of condition and position mirroring the other. You can't. Look at verse 9. He's going to show you the reason. 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with knowledge. Write these down, look at these, take a picture of them, you're going to understand the book of Colossians. Filled with knowledge. Richard Jordan said, if you can't spell it, scribble it. What? Filled with knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to please Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So what knowledge is He wanting you to have? The knowledge of God. Right? The wisdom and understanding of who God is and what He's done in His Son and what He did for you through His Son and by His Son. He wants you to gain in that knowledge for what purpose, Paul? Verse 10, that you might walk worthy. How would you do that? Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of what God's doing, right? And what God has done. Go back over and look at 2. Look at 2. Right now you're getting the purpose of the book of Colossians, is what you're getting. An overall purpose of the book of Colossians. When you take the overall book of Colossians and its purpose, now you can tie in these verses to say, that's really what that's aiming at. This is the warning that Paul's given to Colossians. Look here in 2:7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. So rooted and built up. In what? The faith. When he says Him there, you can go back to 6 and see exactly who he's talking about. As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You received Him by grace through faith. Walk by grace through faith. All right? Now look in chapter 4. The overall purpose of this writing to Colossae, which Paul never met in the flesh. Right? He writes unto them. Look in 4:12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand what? Perfect and complete in what? All the will of God. So, he said right there, to stand. And he says the will of God. All right. So let's end it with the overall purpose. You ready? Go back to chapter 1. You're standing again, fixed. Your state, it varies. Right? 1 and 27 again, we're going to read that just to get the context at the way we're going to finish here. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The overall purpose. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, where? In Christ Jesus. You see that? Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me, what? Mightily. So, the overall book of Colossians, folks, and the doctrine that's coming out of that book, Paul says it's for a future presentation. We put it on the board over there this morning. That is the judgment seat of Christ. I really believe that. There's going to come a time you're going to be presented. You're going to stand again, and you're going to give an account of yourself, right? Complete in Christ, everything there. I don't go anywhere looking for anything. Religion, handbells, choirs, you know, any of that business, it's all in Christ. But did I grow in spiritual wisdom and understanding that I might walk worthy and pleasing of God? Did I allow His Son to be formed in me through the doctrine of the Word of God, that I might be able to stand established, rooted, and grounded? Did I do that? Okay. Both parties are saved if they believe the gospel. There's people who have believed the gospel who have abandoned and they have absolutely left the doctrine and the love of Christ and the love for Christ. They let it go. They're not constrained. They'd rather have their life now than to have Christ. There's people saved with that mentality. I know they are. Right? And then there's those who have come to the truth, come to the knowledge of truth, who want more of it. And you see them sitting around you this morning. I want the Word of God, man. And they are striving. They are pursuing Jesus Christ through the Scriptures. Right? And those who are doing that with a right heart, they're going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Not for how much, but what type of work it was. The sort of work it was, right? They're going to be rewarded. So this condition and position, they need to mirror one of the other. You with me? All right. Now that's not something. You got a bunch of comparison verses over here and over here, and I didn't give you a new nugget today. Probably didn't, right? But sometimes you need a rubber hit the road type of teaching, right? So are you interested in learning and wisdom and knowledge of Christ and furtherance and all that, or are you not? The choice is yours. Even though you're saved and you're fixed in Christ and you're complete in Christ, it's your choice to whether or not you're going to pursue Christ. Okay? And you're only going to do that through the Word of God. And you're only going to get anything done that's by faith through the Word of God. God's not putting off the old man for you. Right? If that's the case, He'd have done that and you wouldn't have had any warnings about the old man. Putting on the new and putting on or off the old. Right? So let us pray. We'll go off camera. Anybody have a question? We'll answer that question. Father, we're so grateful, so thankful for this another day. And I pray that the teaching today might help someone to see the importance of our position, but also the importance of our condition, myself included. Repentance needed in all our hearts, I'm sure. And let us have that mindset. And let us cling to what it is that You want us to cling to. And that's Your Son, Jesus Christ, and to grow in Him and He be formed in us. And we'll give You all the praise, honor, and glory. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right, anybody have